From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he commences a message bearing the title, A Vow Fulfilled. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him who he would, and they came unto him. Here was sovereignty. Impatient spirits may fret and fume because they are not called to the highest places in the ministry. But, beloved, be it thine to rejoice that Jesus calleth whom he will. If he shall leave me to be a doorkeeper in his house, I will cheerfully bless him for his grace in permitting me to do anything in his service. The call of Christ's servants comes from above. Jesus stands on the mountain, evermore above the world in holiness, earnestness, love, and power. Those whom he calls must go up the mountain to him. They must seek to rise to his level by living in constant communion with him. They may not be able to mount to classic honors or to attain scholastic eminence, but they must, like Moses, go up into the Mount of God and have familiar intercourse with the unseen God, or they will never be fitted to proclaim the gospel of peace. Jesus went apart to hold high fellowship with the Father, and we must enter into the same divine companionship if we would bless our fellow men. No wonder that the apostles were clothed with power when they came down afresh from the mountain where Jesus was. This morning we must endeavor to ascend the Mount of Communion, that there we may be ordained to the life work for which we are set apart. Let us not see the face of man today till we have seen Jesus. Time spent with him is laid out at blessed interest. We too shall cast out devils and work wonders, if we go down into the world girded with that divine energy which Christ alone can give. It is of no use going to the Lord's battle till we are armed with heavenly weapons. We must see Jesus. This is essential. At the mercy seat we will linger, till he shall manifest himself unto us as he doth not unto the world, and until we can truthfully say, We were with him in the holy mount.
Sometimes a lie surprises the Christian while he sees. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his spirit and conquers our declining. He grants the soul again. The season of Christian.
Salvation and find it ever new. Set free from crowds of sorrow, we cheerfully can say, Let the unknown tomorrow bring with it what it may.
These troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you.
In Numbers chapter 32, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had asked Moses to give them their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River, a place of good pasture land for their flocks. Although Moses first rebuked them for what he considered a betrayal, he granted their request after they promised to join the rest of Israel in the battles for the promised land. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we see the fulfillment of that vow, for those tribes did just as they had promised. As Dr. Cairns draws a number of spiritual lessons from this passage, he points out that these tribes had to cross Jordan, the symbol of death, illustrating that there is no entrance into spiritual life, blessing, and inheritance apart from Christ. Failure to fulfill their vow would have cut off those tribes from their inheritance. So the only entrance into God's heaven is through Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Now to begin a message called A Vow Fulfilled, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now let's turn again to the book of Joshua this morning, chapter 4. The book of Joshua, chapter 4. We're reading only two verses, verse 12 and verse 13. Joshua 4, verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, well, I'm reading now in verse 11 actually, that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. The Lord will bless the reading of His word to our hearts. The soldiers of the 2.5 tribes of Israel, whose lot fell on the eastern side of the River Jordan, formed the vanguard of the hosts of Israel as they marched over Jordan into the land of Canaan. Now let that sink in for a moment. It was not the armies of Judah or of any of the tribes that made their inheritance in the actual area of the promised land, but it was the soldiers of the 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan who formed the vanguard leading Israel over Jordan into Canaan. And I thought of that. It fascinated me for various reasons. First of all, I pondered its spiritual significance. Over the past few weeks, as we have looked at Joshua chapter 3 and into Joshua chapter 4, we've seen two things. The Bible does speak of the River Jordan as a symbol of death. The Bible does speak of the land of Canaan as a symbol of the rest that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible does speak of the Ark of the Covenant that was borne by the priests as they stood in the river and dried it up to let the people over. Speaks of that Ark of the Covenant as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those are not imaginary pictures. The scriptures themselves tell us that God intended those Old Testament things to convey those spiritual truths. And putting them together, I tried to give you the picture of the people of God crossing over, getting into the land of God's provision, into Canaan, because Christ stood into death for them and dried it up. And we looked at the absolute success of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by standing in death for us, He dried up death. He took something out of it that would never be in it again. As we noticed, He put something into death from that point on for His people. We noticed also that because He stood in death and finished His work there, that every single one of his covenant people pass safely over into Canaan, into the land of God's grace and God's provision. Now, if that is so, the question that arises is, what can we make of the 2.5 tribes whose inheritance lay on the east of Jordan? Are they in some way an exception to all this pattern of type and spiritual truth? Do they teach us that some of God's people enter into life and blessing and spiritual inheritance apart from the merits of Christ and apart from Christ standing into death on their behalf? What are we to make of these 2.5 tribes? Well, I think you'll get the answer if you look very carefully at the text that we have read this morning. We have read of how the men of these tribes led they were the vanguard leading the people across into Canaan. Those men were the family heads of the 2.5 tribes, representative of the entire number. And the thing to notice is that they did indeed cross Jordan, that they could not enter into their possession, whatever its geographical location, they could not enter into their possession unless they did cross Jordan into Canaan. In other words, unless they did enter in through the merits of their mediator typified by the ark. Now, there is therefore a great spiritual truth here. Far from presenting an exception to the rule, they actually fulfill the rule. And the rule is this. We do well to emphasize it every time we come across it in Scripture. There is no entrance into spiritual life, blessing, and inheritance apart from receiving the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can enter into spiritual life, a God-given possession, apart from receiving the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men, representing the 2.5 tribes whose lot fell on the east of Jordan, they crossed the Jordan, they had to cross the Jordan, under the shadow of the ark, as it were, just as much as everybody else. And the Scriptures record how they were told that unless they did so, there would not be an inheritance for them on the east of Jordan. So this is a very real Scripture rule. It is an Old Testament presentation of the New Testament truth in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 that there is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man. It's the truth of Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The truth of the Bible is if you don't enter in through Christ, you won't enter in at all. Unless you have Christ as your mediator with God, you have no mediator. Unless you have Christ as your sacrifice, Hebrews 10 says, there remains no other sacrifice. Unless you have forgiveness through Christ, you don't have forgiveness. Unless God accepts you in Christ, then He rejects you. Unless you have the imputed righteousness of Christ, you stand before God in your undiluted iniquity, condemned and unclean. This is the universal truth of Scripture. Christ, absolutely the only way of life, salvation, and rest with God. But there is another spiritual lesson that I saw as I considered the 2.5 tribes and their inheritance on the eastern side of Jordan, while most of the people of God had their inheritance in Canaan proper on the western side of the Jordan. That's something to keep in mind when you hear newspaper men talking about the West Bank. Remember, you're talking about the area that historically was occupied by the vast majority of the people of God. Now, as I looked at those 2.5 tribes on the other side, I saw in them a clear picture, at least to me a very clear picture, of the Old Testament saints. Now think of it carefully. Those 2.5 tribes did not actually enter into Canaan in fulfillment of God's promise. Just as the Old Testament saints did not actually enter in to the enjoyment of the promise. They had the promise. They enjoyed something of its fulfillment as they looked forward to Christ. But they did not enter into the great fulfillment of it in the Old Testament period. We're not left to guess here. Just as the position of the 2.5 tribes on the east of Jordan had them looking forward to Christ, the Ark, crossing Jordan, so the Old Testament saints in history were looking forward to Christ's death, and to all that that death would procure for the people of God. The book of Hebrews tells us very clearly that the Old Testament saints possessed the same promise as we. It's a very easy statement to make. When I say that, it in many ways disintegrates the entire theological interpretive theory called dispensationalism. It falls right to the ground. I was noticing as Dr. Barrett was reading in the scripture this morning, that further up that chapter, the Holy Ghost has said that he took the promise given to Abraham and he confirmed it unto Jacob, that is unto Israel, for a law. And that those who try to take the Mosaic law and divorce it from the covenant promise given to Abraham are doing absolute injustice to the scriptures of truth. The Holy Ghost has said it, and whatever difficulty theologians have in coming to terms with it, they'd better come to terms with it. It's not some Presbyterian, it's not John Calvin, it's not any council of men that have said it. The Holy Ghost has said it, that he took the covenant promise to Abraham and he confirmed it when he gave the law to Jacob, so that the law under Moses was an administration of the covenant of grace. No way around that. The Holy Ghost is its witness. But even though they received the promise, they didn't get to enter into it. They exercised faith in it and they derived therefore certain benefits from it. But many of the great benefits that could only come in point of time after the death of Christ, the Old Testament saints didn't actually enter into. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, and then going down to verse 39 and 40. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us. And here's the purpose. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. Notice how carefully this is stated, and notice how perfectly it fits with the picture we have in Joshua chapter 4. The 2.5 tribes representing the Old Testament saints had their inheritance on the east of Jordan. They didn't enter into the fullness of Canaan, but their representatives led the rest of the people in. That is a perfect picture of the work of the saints of the Old Testament. And it's beautifully symbolized here. Here we have the truth. We will be made perfect with those Old Testament saints when God brings this age to its climax. And we will find that we have a common Christ, a common redemption, a common salvation, a common God and Savior, and a common promise fulfilled fully to enjoy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.